I hope this thing works because I can't keep up with you.
It's my notes. Okay.
Me too.
But it's great. No, this will be great.
Oh, good. Yeah, is it going at all the way you want it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll loop back and
all
right. Everything. So this is fine.
Okay.
So anyway, life on the outside.
Oh, yeah. So when I started getting sick and I moved back from New York and I felt very alone. For a year, I did. Not much. It was like I was sick when I was in the hospital. I got sick when I was outside of the hospital. I roamed around my house. I tried to write. I couldn't. I tried to paint. I couldn't. I really tried. I, like, set these things up. I would sit for hours. It's like I maybe wrote, like, 2 pages. It was awful. I just felt like this is it. This is the end. But I was like, am I really sick? Or am I... It took me a long time to realize, and this is what, I guess, the transition is between being young and kind of maturing. It took me a long time to realize that I was indeed sick. Actually, physically, not doing well. Like, not breathing well. And that the reason I was tired was not because I was depressed, it was not because I was sad, and it wasn't because I didn't want to do things. It was really because something was changing and I wasn't feeling well. And that took a long time for me to understand. And then I kind of went through a phase of, like, being afraid. You know, all those, I guess there's the stages of illness or of death or whatever that you go through, and you're, like, afraid. And I never made deals because I thought that was pretty stupid, but
oh.
They say, like, you bargain or whatever.
Oh,
I was like,
right,
that's
right.
Pretty dumb. But I was like, no, I know that doesn't work. But yeah, and now I kind of...
Was it something that you knew intellectually, but on a deeper level you didn't know, or you just
right, absolutely.
Really, literally didn't realize?
No, I literally didn't realize I wasn't feeling well.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't understand. Even when I wasn't feeling well at home, I would think it was something else. It's like I thought it was mental, because I was so, I think because my thoughts are so much a part of my life, and like they often seem so, they're how I understand the world, they're like what I do in the world, they're how I communicate with people, you know, it's like words and thoughts, they are so close to me that I really thought, what else could it be but words and thoughts, you know, I didn't remember I had a body. And so it's almost like I didn't know how to feel what is not breathing and what is not feeling well, which was really, that took a long time to realize. And now I know. Now I'm like, oh, I can point where I can't breathe. Like, I know exactly what's going on. Like, I know when I'm having a day where I feel a bit better, you know.
Right.
But that took like a year of kind of, it's almost, you know, learning Braille or something. It's like learning a different way of seeing. And it took a long time.
Mm.
And it's given me, I mean, I'm just beginning to see. And reading 100 Years of Solitude really is pretty amazing because he has such perspective. But it does give you, it's like, I think my friends are still, when there's nothing wrong with you, you can just live in your dreams. Like, you can just create your life and be happy. I don't mean live in your dreams like live in a fantasy world. I mean, live what you dream. You can, life is what you see it as, and life is what you make it, and life is, but then when your actual physical form starts failing, it really changes. It changes that. You realize life is not just how you see it or what you make of it, or there's a whole other component to life. And I think that a lot, you know, I mean, I think that comes with age.
Mm.
Often people will realize that when people have children, people grow old.
Yeah.
You know, they start talking like that. He certainly understands that. Some very young, brilliant people understand that, but...
Do you feel that, you know, because of being sick that, yeah, that you can't quite relate to people, you know, that used to be your friends or people that are your age because they just haven't achieved that level of insight into life, or...
Yeah, I guess some... I mean, I still love my friends, and I love talking to them, but there are only a handful who I can say the truth to, like the real truth. Mm. You know, there's only one, Alexandra Greenberg is really one of the only ones who I know understands it, somehow has understood it, mm-hmm. and can handle it. A lot of people, like the boy, Patrick is his name, who I, that's the other character, and we are so similar, but he can't, he's having a, he can't, he doesn't get it. He still thinks it's almost like my choice, you know, and I think part of it's because he can't, I mean, how can you understand that the person you love is sick? It's like a really hard thing to...
Now, was he somebody you knew in college, or...?
I met him in high school, actually.
Oh, okay.
I know, we were really young.
Is he the one that is in the books,
yeah.
or loosely based on
He's
him?
The boy.
Okay.
Who used to fall asleep all the time.
And, okay.
He'd, like, fall asleep writing, fall asleep doing homework. Anyway. Hmm. But, yeah. And his parents died. That's actually true. Mm-hmm. When he was little. And I'm sure that has a great deal to do with a lot of the problems we've had.
So, now, when you're here... you said that, okay, so you can move around and go all over the hospital, but you have to keep your distance from other...
From other CF patients, yep. And I can't go out during lunch. It's really, I mean, I never bridge the rules. Right, I know.
There's probably good reason for it.
But I know some younger kids, I mean, they do, because they're like, whatever, like, talking's more important than my health. It's
right.
The same, I would have been that way if I were 17.
Because you think there'd be a lot more serious dangers to you here than other CF, it's like, there's all kinds of illnesses.
Right.
In the hospital.
Oh, so. But I know, yeah, that's true. I feel like every time I come in here, I come out with something else, but, like, a cold or the flu or something. But the thing about CF people is they pass their germs to each other very easily, they found.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is really weird. I don't know why that is. Another thing we have in common, we keep our rooms cool.
You have to recognize everybody after a while.
You can see, sometimes you can tell. A lot of times, if they look, there's a certain look, a lot of some patients, if you know, have been sick for a long time, kind of get, and you can tell, it's like, it's the stress, I think, of coughing, your shoulders kind of come up, and you're like, you look kind of, like, I've had enough. But, which I try and fight. I'm always going like this. I'm like, it does not help to have your shoulders up by your ears. But you can also recognize them by the IV little things that they carry on. Do you see that little one? That's like a notorious CF IV pump. And people always carry them around. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes you can just tell. I tend to think that people with cystic fibrosis kind of look alike. And a lot of them do. We have kind of open faces and kind of a similar attitude, which I don't know if comes from genetics or from environment. I mean, I have no idea.
What do you mean? What kind of attitude?
It's just kind of a, like, you could easily be pissed off, but you're basically a really good person. That's really, that's like the basic. Kind of, you're worn out in a way. And yet completely hopeful in another way. Worn out and hopeful. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very pretty. A lot of the girls are very... And boys. Won't leave you out.
Now, I've heard people say that people with CF, a lot of times they seem younger than they really are. Is that your experience?
That's, I would totally agree with that. Like, I never put it in those words. But yeah. They seem like a little smaller, a little younger.
Mm.
They're like eternal, that's something I was going to put in my book, is be like eternally young. And being in the hospital, I think has, that's what I was thinking. But yeah, physically, too. And I was thinking kind of being, you always come back to the place where you were when you were a kid. Like, being 24 in a children's hospital is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, they do that. I mean, it makes me happy because I don't have to leave.
Mm.
You know, the last thing I'd want to do is have to go someplace not familiar, because then you really would feel lost. It's like, but this is like my home, my second home. So, but, yeah, they are. They're like, you turn very young. very innocent looking. That's kind of the open face.
Mm. Now, do people, how many kids or young adults or whatever are there here at any given time? And do you, are you all like
that's
kind
a
of
question.
On a first name basis or, you know, is
I'm not.
Or, okay.
I hear, but I know some people really are. So, like, I know up, but I've been thinking of requesting to go up to 10 East, because that's where most of the adults are.
Oh.
I always get stuck on 9 East, but I've met some nice kids, and I think that they, I certainly know of people, you know, and I'm kind of venturing out more, like, I'm pretty introverted. When I get here, I get kind of introverted, but, I've been kind of, like, going upstairs and looking around, being like, who's that? Who's that person? I know some people are on definitely first name basis, and I think they're the younger kids because they're very social.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of when you're a teenager, if you're in here a lot, I know they get really close and they all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, but I mean, it can't be that many people. I think it must be a handful of, because probably 15 or 20 people here, that's big. 20 would be a lot. I think, but you should ask the doctors about statistics or something, because I have no, I mean, that's how it seems to me, but, like, I don't get out that much. I kind of just look in and see. But, mostly it's just kind of a look, for me, it's just, like, a look of acknowledgement, or, like, a smile, a sarcastic comment. That's pretty much the span of my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I did meet one girl with CF outside of the hospital who I actually ended up teaching. And she and I kind of communicated for a while and we wrote letters and stuff. But somehow in the hospital I get really nervous about passing. Everything, ever since, I know that people used to really socialize, but I think ever since this precaution thing, it's like everybody's kind of been isolated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people. It's relatively new. I mean, it's like a couple years old.
Is it for that new umbrella?
That's really what they made them implement it, I think.
Do a lot of the people have it, you know, who are here?
I don't know. I mean, I see a lot of precaution signs, and I don't know if that's because they have Sapatia or some other odd strain of something. I mean, I figure some of them are Sapatia.
So you have to be, what, 3 feet away?
Yeah, at least 3 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not allowed to go out during, like, from 12 to 1 or something, 11:30 to 1, when there's lots of people around.
Oh.
I think it's as much, I mean, it's as much so we don't give things, and also so we don't get things. Like, the last thing they want is for us to be around a bunch of people going to the hospital.
Oh,
so I think it's
why you're here now. Right?
Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was a good time.
To be in your room. So, when the little kids, I mean, what do they do if the little kids don't recognize the boundaries and they just...
I have no idea. I mean, they must...
Younger, yeah.
I know. Sometimes they yell at them. Yeah, I mean, like, I've heard of one poor girl on... One nurse was telling me, did you hear she got so yelled at? And I was like, oh, I would never yell at her. But I guess sometimes they lose it. I got yelled at the first time I was ever on precautions. I didn't even know what precautions were. Someone yelled at me. I could have killed her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. She's like, I could have. You have to be really humane about something like that. Like, you cannot rub it in someone's face that they're supposed to be isolated. You have to be kind of nice.
Mm.
And I think most people understand that. Doctors certainly understand it.
Okay.
Most nurses understand it. Kind of administrators or, not charge nurses, but, you know, administrative nurses, they're the toughies. And I think they have to, I mean... They feel like they have to be, but they're the
So
ones
why are they especially worried about this? Is it just because they don't have a treatment for it? Or?
Right, it's very resistant.
Mm.
And they haven't found something yet that will, that kind of breaks its resistance down. And it's very easily passed, I think.
Mm.
So those two things combined is reason enough for anyone to go get enough.
That has a suppression, you know, that... that there's, like, a kind of cut into it.
This has cut into it a lot.
Yeah.
There has been. I know, he's going to be so sad.
Well, I heard stories from this other guy who was saying that there's like a whole society of kids, and they get up in the middle of the night.
See, I think there is. That's younger. You should find some younger kids, because like they. I know I've heard these stories, and like I'm sure that they do it.
When you say younger kids, you mean
like teenagers? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm kind of out of the loop. I'm kind of old. Like, I'm not going to be running around at midnight with a bunch of 17-year-olds. But I'm sure that they do it, and I love that they do it. Like, that's so... I hope they do it. Except I hope they don't give each other a bunch of illnesses. See, you get older, and you start worrying. You're like, but I hope they aren't coughing on each other. But that's really... I mean, I think that's great. I wish I'd run into them one night. Sometimes I go walking. Oh, hello, everyone. But, yeah, I mean, you should find it. Find that kid.
Yeah, I guess I never realized in a hospital, you know, people can be up and about and running around.
Yeah, running around.
I mean, isn't there somebody always in charge, though? Like, isn't there always nurses on
the floor? There is, but you can disappear. Like, I'll disappear for an afternoon. I often go in the garden. I'll be there for, like, hours. As long as you're not having to be on medication.
Can you actually leave the hospital entirely?
Technically, no. But I've heard that you used to be able to. Years ago, you used to be able to get, like, night passes out. But then I think someone came home, like, really drunk, and they had to stop doing that. Yeah. They were like, okay, that's the end of that. It's sad. It's like, I think they used to have a lot more. I think they used to exercise together. Yeah, you should talk to some, I don't know, teenagers. I bet they do, because I would.
Well, we'll find some. We'll find some of the nurses.
Get a picture.
The one guy that Matt talked to, I think he doesn't want to use that kid, although he likes him, because he's been in a lot of our other articles.
No.
So I guess he's a little overexposed.
Well, I wonder who is
oh,
what's his name? Steve?
He said his name, but I think his last name starts with a Y or something, or has a Y in it.
There's one kid I always think is so cute. He's like 18, or something, 17, 18. Anyway, he's like adorable. He has like black hair and dark eyebrows. I don't know. Very young looking though. My dad was like, he's like 14. I was like, no, he's older than that. I'm always trying to look. Then some guy who was right above me, who was about my age, had a very cute visitor the other day, and that was when I really wanted to be able to be like, hello.
You can have visitors.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can have visitors.
Good.
Maybe our visitors can talk to each other, and they can hang out.
See your friends come.
Sometimes, not as often as they should.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
It's a tough time of life because people are kind of.
They're really self-involved. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, it's really
you
tough.
You don't really think about people who are sick and in the hospital. You know what I mean? At that age.
You don't. And you're like, they're sick. They're in the hospital. They'll be okay. You don't think.
You get older. Yeah.
You start really thinking about how much they matter.
You start seeing your mortality more. You know,
yep. And you're like, oh, this matters.
Right. Yeah.
No, they have no idea. Very few friends have any idea. And I get really annoyed with some of them, because they're... I know, which is why I wish I could talk to people more around here, because I feel like they...
Do they do anything
understand.
To kind of make life a little more interesting for you while you're here? Like...
I really think they should create one. I think they should have an email system.
Awesome.
My friend Lexi was saying, okay, what we have, because we've been emailing, and she does not have cystic fibrosis, but she was saying, what we need to do is get computers in patient rooms. She's like, I'm going to start a foundation.
Computers in some of the rooms and other floors, you know.
See?
But I mean, I'm so new here, I don't even know what I'm seeing half the time, but I've seen...
You're like,
yeah,
oh, something that looked like a computer.
Maybe, but I saw in some of the rooms that they showed us there were computers.
Well, that's what they should do.
So
that we can talk, because at least then we can see each other from, you know, far away, wave, and then be like, I'm going to email, you know, let's email.
Like a lounge or something. Is there a lounge at least where you can go and...
I think the lounge would be the worst. No.
No.
No. That they would never do, because you're not supposed to be, like, in the same room.
Same room. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah. Now I really see. Yeah.
It really is. It's been kind of destroyed, which is why I'm sure people are sneaking out at midnight. Because it's like, we have to talk. I would do it. I have a good mind sometimes to go upstairs and be like, do you want to go for a 3-foot walk or something? Mm-hmm. Like,
a 3-foot walk?
I don't know. Yeah, I was like, can't we wear masks or gloves? Or?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why pride? Let's throw pride out the window. You know, like, I can wear a mask. I look pretty in a mask. All you see is my eyes.
Is that a possibility? Or, I mean, it
does seem, I don't know. That's what I feel like is why not. Although they say you carry it on your clothes. I mean, they have a million reasons. But it would be nice to talk more to people who are in the same predicament as you, or at least a similar predicament.
Yeah.
There's so much I want to know, because I feel like I'm kind of new to this. A lot of people have been really sick for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, for years, they've been coming in and out and in and out.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm like a baby. I'm like, oh, I'm in and out now, you know? Like, I've never been in and out before. So I kind of want to talk to everybody, but I'm too shy. or I can't. It's not as easy as it would be.
Yeah,
maybe
it's not easy to approach.
Right, it would be like a real thing. It would be like, I'll email you from the student lounge and then you can email me back. The student lounge. What am I talking about? The patient family center? Yeah. Doo-doo-doo. I'm in my dorm room. Anyway.
So, getting to a more clinical side of things, can you tell me kind of what happens when you're here, what kind of treatments?
Basically, you get admitted, and really, it's basically antibiotics is the whole thing.
IV?
Yeah, IV antibiotics, and they try and figure, they have a new thing, at least I know it's a patient they do, and I think with everybody else, called Synergy, where they send out your, you know, a sample of your mucus, your bacteria, to someplace in Canada, and they have this huge grid system on a computer that matches all the antibiotics that may work with your, that will kill your bacteria. So they get their information from them.
Mm-hmm.
They try and find, you know, what the best antibiotics are to try and
is there a big problem
treat you.
With resistance?
There is, there is. So,
the problem with them. And they're pretty aggressive with the antibiotics.
They're really aggressive.
They really wanna.
Yeah, they usually do. Some people, I got 2 at a time for a while, and then they upped it to 3, and now right now I'm on 4, which is a lot.
It's sort of like tuberculosis is that way.
Yeah.
They have to give a whole combination of antibiotics.
And
they always have to change them.
Yep, that's how this is. They keep trying to change them. But what I find, though, with me is, like, once they've gotten kind of the joke, like, once they've gotten wise to what's going on, I feel like that's it. But you just have to, because they won't, I feel like with my bacteria, but I do, it's like once, like, kind of midway through, I was feeling really, really a lot better, and then I started to sort of feel worse, and I almost wish we just sent me home, and been like, okay, well, at least you're a little bit better, maybe come in later, because I feel like once they become resistant to one, mine don't usually respond to that sort of, you've got to find the right combination, like, I don't think, you know, this, I don't think is working, I can kind of tell, which is really frustrating, because then you're just here, kind of focusing on how you're not feeling well, which is the point at which you want to go home, because you're like, well, I can focus on other things at home, whereas here, you're just like, yep, still not feeling well, yep, still not, like, every hour. But anyway, yeah, so they do antibiotics, and then they have
that, like, once a day? How does that work?
Well, it's like, depends on the antibiotic, but usually it's like 2 to 3 to 4 times a day. It's either on 6-hour intervals or 8-hour
and then once
intervals.
You're getting it, how long do you have to sit there with the IV? Or I guess if you walk
it takes about, yeah, you can walk around with it. It usually takes about 30 minutes to 1 hour for each antibiotic. So it can be up to 3 hours that you're sitting, 3.5 hours. That you're, it can be a long time. Three times a day, four times a day, yeah. Sometimes they're overnight, and that makes you very annoyed because you wake up.
Now, why? It doesn't sound like, I mean, if you can walk with it, why do you need to be here? I mean, is it possible to do this at home? Or?
Yeah, some people do home clean-outs.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's called?
It's like they come in, they find the antibiotics that are working, and then they send you home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of wanted to do that. The problem is I always realize I end up having to switch, so it's... I don't know if I'd have to come back
but
in.
Is it all within one visit that you need to switch?
Well, I mean, it happens gradually, but, like, I'll be, you know, it'll happen at home, and I'll be like, better go back in, which could be. But it might be good. Whatever. I'm thinking of trying it. A lot of people do it. They come in, they go home for a while with it at home. Doctors have varying advice on it. Some people think it's a great thing. Other people think you don't get the rest you need.
Oh,
it depends,
okay.
You know. Some people like you to be here. Some people think it's great to get you out of here.
Yeah,
it really depends
on
the doctor.
Yeah.
And then chest PT. Chest PT, which I hate.
What's that?
You'll probably witness it if you walk around. It's like someone basically claps on your chest in various positions.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it 3 times a day, which drives me insane. I think it's too much. Some people like chest PT. Most people don't.
What?
They say it's airway clearance. Like, it helps knock stuff off the walls of your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I buy that, and sometimes, and for some people it really works. For me, it doesn't work so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just kind of annoying to have this cheery person at my door it seems like every time you turn around, being like, "Just PT."
Mm-hmm.
And they're very hard to say no to. You have to really, it's like,
is
you have to
it,
be
it
like,
just
no.
Just that it takes so much time, or you just...
It takes half
like
an hour. Yeah, I don't, it's a combination of those things.
Yeah.
If it was like once a day, or even twice a day, like, I could deal with it. But the 3 times, it really does feel like every time you get it, because you have so many other people bothering you. You know, like, you have doctors coming in every morning. They come in every morning to say, how are you doing? Then you have phlebotomists drawing your blood. Then you have nurses coming in, checking on you. Then you're hooked up. Or you're unhooked, and it's like, then you get your vital signs. So you've got all these people who are kind of coming in, and the chest therapist always comes in as if all you do is sit around all day, and they're like, chest PT, and you're like, And so every time you kind of get a free moment, I feel like, and sit down, there's like, knock, 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 time for chest PT, and it's like, you can make it funny, but sometimes it's not funny. What?
Do you have to strip down for
it? No. They do it with your clothes. In fact, if you have too little on, they'll put more on you because they don't want to hurt you. Yeah.
So they just, like, open palms?
No, God, cupped.
Oh, okay.
Cupped. Cupped hand is very important.
Oh, okay.
No, open palms would hurt.
Oh,
that would be annoying.
Okay.
No, the cupped
and they
hand.
Put a lot of pressure? I mean, is it really hard?
It's about like this.
Uh-huh.
Firm, but not hard.
And they do it on both sides, like your back?
They do it like this, you lay down, they do it here, they tip your bed. It's like they wreck your whole room. They come in 3 times a day and wreck your whole situation. And I become very particular about my room when I'm in here. It's the only thing I have.
That's cute. They wreck your whole
situation. They do. But they're trying to help you.
Mm.
Sometimes you have a good conversation. But that's another problem. If you're really tired and sick, they always want to talk, and you're like, oh, okay, what do we want to talk about today? But they're nice. I mean, I have some friends who are just PT people. I'm always happy to see them. I'm just not happy to do just PT.
Is that it? Or
yeah,
the
that's
the,
oh,
is
there anything
chest,
else?
The chest PT and the clean out.
Yeah, the antibiotics are really the biggest thing. That's really it. I mean, they always have, like...
Mostly a long one, or do you have other...
Oh, digestive. Oh, yeah. Enzymes, they give you enzymes, but those you have at home, that's to help you digest, because most people can't kind of digest food.
So I didn't know that there were enzymes. Okay.
Yeah.
I know they talk about nutrition for, young
right,
kids,
so they do have nutritional component come in and talk to you. And sometimes that, depending on your case, a lot of people have a real problem with digestion, and so nutrition can be a big component, I suppose.
Is that a big issue for you? Or
not so much. I mean, it was for a little while, because I kind of didn't realize my enzymes had ceased to work. And so it kind of gave me, multiple problems. And I was like, oh, my enzymes are working. And they gave me kind of stronger enzymes. And ever since, I've been very happy. But I didn't, it's another thing where you don't, that's what I'm talking, my inability to realize what's really happening. I thought that was in my head, too. I was like, I'm eating too much.
Oh,
I almost
really?
Have an eating disorder. Yeah. I mean, I went nuts. And then I realized it was just my enzymes not working.
What was it that you, would you get, indigestion, or?
It was my stomach would swell up, I was always hungry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was but for some reason I didn't associate it with the disease I had.